Ladies, we all have different symptoms that time of the month. For me, my energy level happens to just dip insanely, and I just feel a little down, you know, a little sluggish. And so I'm happy to share Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, and they are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And so here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So, Hormone Harmony is for any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances, and it's perfect for symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, when you have no desire to get in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean, and also hot flashes and night sweats if you happen to be going through menopause. It's really great for women with menopause. So yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC for 15% off today. Your hormones will thank you.
That is the part where if you can invite yourself to accept that all these parts of you exist, that they're actually never going to quote unquote go away. It's just that they get less and less loud because the other loving, compassion, right? Accepting parts of you, the light or the love or the peace and the gratitude, those voices just get a little bit louder.
I was listening to Break Up With Your Bullshit today.
You did? What'd you think of it?
Dude, you and him have such a great banter. I loved it. What's his name?
Ryan Weiss. He's truly like he's like just the most epic human. And it's one of those friendships where I'm sure you have them where sometimes you're like, wow, how am I so lucky to have this friendship?
Absolutely.
What did I do?
I must have done something great in a past life. Exactly. No, it's because you are amazing and you attract really amazing people very clearly.
Oh, thank you, love. It's hard to sometimes accept that. I always work on worthiness. But yeah, I'm so excited. We've gotten incredible feedback for it. And if it's cool, I mean, I'll probably chat a little bit, just share it a little bit today. So you're 100% know about it.
I want you to share it all. I'm actually going to ask you a lot of soulpreneurship stuff because I mean, magic vibes. Hello.
I know.
That is so cool what you do.
Thank you, darling.
I'm so excited to finally have a Reiki master on. I haven't had a Reiki master on. I'm like, what? You were really the one standout person after I heard you on Jordan's Soul on Fire podcast. I just remember your words were medicine and I was beyond grateful. And you're the only Reiki person that I decided to reach out to because I was like, this one gets it.
Oh, she knows. Oh my God. That makes me so honored.
So I'm really excited for whatever comes and unfolds in this podcast.
Likewise. Well, thank you again for having me. And I'm just going to follow your lead. And hopefully we can share some magic together.
I know we'll share a lot of magic vibes together.
That sounds great. I love talking about all of it because I want other people to find the expression of it within themselves.
You're multidimensional. And so are back we all, you, so they babe. Can learn back that they are too. Thanks, boo. Thanks, boo. So first, may you actually weave these two questions into one answer. What is Reiki and what's your story behind why you decided to devote your life to it and your evolution into all the practices?
Absolutely.
This might take a minute, but that's okay. Take your time. I want everyone to hear it.
All right. I'm going to go for it. So Reiki is a Japanese healing modality. We use our hands to emit healing and invoke life force energy to bring about balance and harmony to the mind, the body, and the soul. And similar to Chinese medicine, the qi and the flow of prana or life force energy, which you've heard if you've taken a yoga class or if you've ever had acupuncture, they talk about your chi within the body or the prana. That is the same as the ki of Reiki, the R-E-I-K-I. The K-I is the same as chi. It's the same as prana or life force energy in yoga. The difference is that we use our palm chakras in the hands to allow the healing to come through instead of, say, just breath with prana or needles in Chinese medicine. So that's sort of the baseline of the intention and the power behind Reiki. And for me, I grew up in North Dakota. I worked in the United States Senate as my first job out of college in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill. I worked for a big Fortune 500 company after that in Los Angeles. So if there was ever someone who was not exactly into or a believer of the woo-woo and the magic, it would have been me. And I really, I really had to find just solutions and answers because I was struggling very, very severely with back pain, with stress, with anxiety, and, you know, partly because of the jobs and the careers that I had chosen, but also because of family stuff and just really the essence of what we all have as human beings is just navigating and learning how to take care of ourselves and be more of ourselves and listen to ourselves. And I really was, I felt so distant from myself, but I know now that I was intentionally doing that. I was running from myself. And in doing so, I developed a lot of physical pain. And that was how, when I finally landed in LA and started doing yoga practice and really felt, I remember after my first yoga class, my dear friend at the time, I said to her, wow, we were in, you know, like one of those huge building complexes and in a fitness studio that was very, very deep inside of this gym. So it's not like we were close to outside, but the way I felt during Shavasana, which is corpse pose, where you're done with your practice and you lay down and you're just in the essence of receiving and letting go, I felt this, it felt like there was a big, huge FedEx truck driving by because I felt this shaking and rumbling in my heart in a good way, like this just this online feeling, right? And I couldn't explain it because I was like, I wonder if there was a truck going by. But it was, of course not, because we were in, you know, on like several stories high in a building and in very deep within the building in this yoga studio. And it was really, it was me. It was my own energy. It was my own sort of Shakti. It was just all the divine flow for me that I was feeling for the first time. And because I had all this back pain, I started seeking alternative treatments because it was really severe. And I would take Advil and I would drink wine and just think anything to help it move through me. And it wasn't working. And that was how I ended up after, you know, a couple of years of going to all these different healers and people in LA, I ended up finding Reiki and I didn't get it and I didn't know why or how it worked, but I just knew that every time I got off the table and we had done some EFT and then I would end the session with Reiki, I felt better. I felt lighter. So you're right. It's a long story, but yeah, it's, I just want always people to hear and know that like, if there was ever a skeptic, I was the one. And I had a very hard time letting go. I had a very hard time not wanting to control everything. And I still struggle with that. But how it really saved me in so many ways.
It's amazing how yoga, this is why I wanted people to hear your story though. It's because it's amazing how yoga is often the catalyst into this world, because when we lay in that shavasana and corpse pose, we can finally hear and connect with our soul, especially when we are in a world that is more chaotic and hustling, like the corporate industry, which I too was also a part of. So I totally relate to you. And I think a lot of people do. And especially I was too also once a skeptic. And so before I opened up myself into this world, honestly, one practice that I had a hard time believing for a long while, even when I was finally open and I was diving in after I practiced my yoga, but I was very skeptical for a while of Reiki. And
yeah,
I thought people who practice Reiki were just either honestly out of their mind or just wanted to take money out of my pocket. You know,
same. I kind of always felt like they were trying to like take advantage of me with like the woo woo. And I totally get it. And look, you know, to some degree, I would say that, you know, we all do have to trust our instinct and find someone in whatever, it could be your yoga teacher, it could be who you go to acupuncture, it could be somebody you decide to go on a retreat with that you've never met. You know, I really feel so strongly that we all have this innate ability and necessity to some degree to follow our own intuition, because I definitely had people come up to me that would be like, I'm a Reiki master and I feel called to place my hands. And I was like, no, thank you. Bye.
Yes, exactly. It was the one thing that took me honestly a long time till probably, whoa, I just realized something. It took until your podcast with Jordan on Soul on Fire where I actually shifted and opened my mind to it.
I just got chills in my whole body when you said that.
I don't even know how I didn't even realize this while I was talking to you, but I'm like, wow, where was that shift? And I just had a visualization of me driving down when I was living on Oahu. I was on the west side, so the ocean was to my left or my right. And so I was on the east side, I mean. And I was driving down listening to you speak with Jordan. And I just had such a moment of I think I probably got chills too, but I had that moment of truth. I remember my right ear ringing, and that's one of my signs. Like, this is a moment of truth. And wow.
What divine
just flashed in my mind.
That's so beautiful. And my whole body is like broken out in chills. And that's always my sign. It's like my armpits are sweating right now. So it's not that I'm like cold at all. It's just that it's that essence of like true connection. And I always want people, and I think that's maybe where I have approached going into Reiki from. Like what a lot of people have shared with me is that, you know, I am someone that is very much of this earth and of this day and age. Like, I'm a stepmom. I live in downtown LA. Like nice things. And I am just, again, meaning I'm someone who's not meditating in the mountains somewhere. Like, I'm very tangibly earthly connected to living in 2018 in the Western world. So my approach with all of it, with spirituality, with Reiki, with awareness, with just intentional living, is one of balance, is really the essential sort of key and ingredient to Reiki in the first place, is balance and harmony. And sometimes balance and harmony for me is going to look like, you know, going to Vegas for a weekend and celebrating a friend's bachelorette party and just having fun and letting go and, you know, doing my meditation practice in the morning, but not rooting myself to like need to have green juice every day and need to, you know, go to bed with dandelion tea and like beautiful music chirping in my ears. Like, that's not always a reality. And so for me, I think what I try to also share and show people is that it's okay to be in your own, whatever that essence is for you, your balance and finding your harmony, our cell phones, with technology, with all these things that we are really meant to be a part of where we are now. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them.
Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion, and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. I'm all about that fuss-free glam. Give me makeup that's versatile and feels like air on my skin and has ingredients that love my face, that's good for my face. You know, clean ingredients. And don't even get me started on mascaras because I do want them bold and lengthening. And so we have Thrive Cosmetics, which I've been using since 2020, obviously because I appreciate their foolproof products that make it really easy to apply for any skill level. And they have a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but also they give back. Every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. Hence why it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare are not just makeup brands, they're a whole vibe. They're all about empowering us to rock our confidence, and when you support them, we are helping other communities thrive. Their stuff is not only easy to use, but no nasties, zero parabens, sulfites, phthalates. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Let's talk lashes. Thanks to Thrive's liquid lash extensions, I must say that my lashes are just so beautiful and lush. It adds length, there are no clumps, and also guess what? It slides right off with warm water, so no raccoon eyes here. And I appreciate they have nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And it's a unique formula they use that creates these tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. We've had problems in the past with the link, but the link does work now. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. And we were planted here for a reason. We weren't planted in India right now to meditate in the mountains. There are other people, that's their purpose right now. Our purpose is to feed the souls in this Western civilization and help them tap in. And thank Goddess for the fact that you do find a balance, that you have found a balance because of your own history. You're more able to really connect with those that are where you were. And there's so many that are floating around and a lot of those skeptics too. So you're able to understand. So you needed that history and then the Shavasana to really serve
it
your
just
purpose.
Opened something. Yeah. And I, you know, I think for a lot of people, I'm sure you know this as well. And I'm so curious. I'm going to ask you a couple questions as well.
It's fine. I'm open.
Yes. But, you know, I really feel like for most people, it's not about needing to go down any particular path. And there's no one, you know, it could be, we see this so much now, if you're on social media and you are you know, you're curious about wellness and you have that sort of desire to do better and to be better within yourself, what I would say is, you know, following someone else's path and journey is not going to be what is yours, mm-hmm. because each of us are so perfectly individual as mm-hmm. a part of this beautiful collective, but we all have our own lessons. We all have, I mean, no two people's astrology chart is ever going to be the same, right? So mm-hmm. in that same energy and vibration, it's like all of us have this uniqueness about us, which means that our path has to be unique and soul and very connected to self. And sometimes that means that you fall down and you get really hurt. And sometimes that means that you're going to be floating and feel like you're on a cloud, and all of it is necessary and all of it is relevant and all of it is perfectly you. And that's the part that I think it's taken me, you know, I'm 37 years old. It's taken me 37 years to finally come home to myself and acknowledge that all these times that I was running and all these times that I was trying to maybe follow someone else's way of being or follow someone else's needs of me or whatever the case may have been, that it was all necessary so that I could see that I had this pattern and then I could come back to myself again. And then I'd go off and then I'd be away from myself and then I'd come back to myself again and then away and then back. So it's like, you know, to just really give everyone this beautiful, could be a little unknown. It could be a little scary for some or just new, but this permission, this intense, loving, deep permission to be perfectly imperfect and to be themselves and to trust that their journey is taking them to the places that they are meant to be.
Wow. Amen to all of that, Eric. All right, you can go now. That was an amazing interview.
Check, check.
Wow, there are so many things in that minute of what you just said that I just want people to take away. Well, one, I can't believe that you're 37. I really need your aging secrets, but that's not what I want people to take away. Two, the fact that you are 37, there's so many young listeners. I would say the majority of them are between 15 to 25. And I see a lot of them in the Facebook group, they're really struggling with, they feel like they need to be somewhere right now. You know, they need to be where they want to be right now. They need to be serving their purpose and healing the world right now. When it's like you, and it's, when I see that, I'm like, that's good that they are feeling that nudge and they're feeling their purpose. But a decade from now, it's going to be so different. And just imagine how much they're going to heal or find their way. And there's going to be so many times when they're going to have high highs and low lows. And they're going to feel like they're off their path. They're going to feel like they're back on their path and aligned. And to not be so hard on themselves, because look at where they might be when they're 37.
Oh, I love that so much. Look, it actually makes me emotional when I hear that, because I know it so well. I know the feelings of like knowing you feel this burning inside of you to do something or to give something great and to provide and to share your essence and your light and your love with the world. I know that feeling so deeply. And I also know the feeling of complete and utter self-doubt and complete and utter like anxiety and fear of not becoming that person. And like, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to give myself to? Where else do I need to go? Like, who else do I need to meet? How many more followers do I need? Like all those voices, right? And
yes,
like my biggest thing that I would say to all of these beautiful, amazing beings that listen and that are feeling any of that is, it is coming. It will come. And the more you can learn now to love yourself and to trust yourself and exactly that you are right on time. You are right on time wherever you are, being whoever you are, experiencing whatever you are. The more that you can give yourself permission to just like rest in this place of like inner peace, because the inertia and the excitement of purpose is what, you know, allows us to keep waking up and to keep experiencing and to keep going. But what can happen is that that inertia can go way too far ahead. And that's the ego. Yeah, the ego is saying to you or to anyone, certainly says it to me, I have to be someone else doing something else, being somewhere else other than this moment right now.
Yes. And this is where Reiki and EFT can really help keep one aligned so they can rest in that place of inner peace and to align and manifest all of what they really truly, like their inner being desires, and be able to hear more of that inner voice and less of the ego voice.
Absolutely. And like, you know, just knowing that a majority of your listeners are in that age range, it also makes me want to share with them, you know, and I've never shared this before, like, and I think it's really important for them to hear is, you know, the first few times that I ever meditated, or like this was probably maybe less than 10 years ago, but a while ago, that I ever did my first like full moon ritual, right? Where it doesn't have to be a full moon ritual, but I'm just going to share it in this context, is the first time I was like, okay, I'm going to take a bath and then I'm going to sit down and I'm going to journal. And then when I'm done journaling, I'm going to take it outside and burn it. And I'd never done any of this before. I'd heard of it and I'd lived in LA long enough that people would talk about it and stuff. But I, again, was kind of like, okay, you know, like, all right, that sounds really, really woo-woo. But it's much more accepted now, and people, you know, obviously different wellness websites and stuff write about it. Every other blogger who's in the wellness space or spiritual space, like, is posting, myself included, on new moons and full moons.
Mine too.
Yeah, right, of course. But what happened in that experience is something I'll never forget, and it was like my first real awakening to the essence and feeling of God. Like, I'd always loved God. I woke when I was very young, I would pray at night for God to let me be a servant and to let me like help the world. And so it's always been this feeling inside of me, but I grew up Catholic, so I always believed that in order to connect with God, you had to do it through the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of people who grew up in any type of religion can relate to sort of the, I don't want to say dogmatic, because I love so much about religion, and I may be completely opposite of most people right now, but like, I love the feeling of walking into a church. I love the essence of prayer and the feeling of devotion.
Whoa. Okay. Chills on my end right now, because I was resistant to a church for a while, and I walked in recently and I felt so good. It has nothing to do with actual like religious organization, but it's like that time where people have their sacred connection with their divine guidance, or God, or the universe, like that time they just have that connection. You can feel it. It's so sacred in that space.
Yes.
It feels good. And honestly, when I was really down recently, I walked into a church and it just helped. Just the simple walking into a church.
Absolutely, babe. That's amazing that you knew that, because it brings a sense, for me, it brings this essence of healing and of prayer and of just the divinity. And I, you know, some of these churches have been built so long ago that, you know, if you think of the amount of prayer and the amount of people who have invoked universal life force or God, whatever you want to say, I mean, that alone has this palpable connection. It's the same way we have vortexes around the world and these sacred energy centers. It's like, I believe that, and a lot of churches were actually built on those. So, you know, you're not just accessing that divinity and that longevity of prayer and the invocation of an altar in a church. It's also, some of them have a depth and a connection to the earth and to this vortex of sacred energy that's bringing healing the minute you walk in. So anyways, back to the story. I was at home and I decided to finally like sit down and stop running from myself and just do this. And I started writing, and I was sobbing my eyes out, just releasing all of this, what I didn't even know was there, just releasing this these fears and releasing my like just old stuff that had happened and scary things and sad things and overwhelming things and anger that I felt to certain people. And I was just like almost scribbling, not even legible writing, just like moving energy.
Yeah.
You know it. And I ended up like ripping up the piece of paper as a friend had told me to do and putting it in like a fire safe container and putting, going outside and lighting it. And as I just sat and I just watched the fire and I watched this essence, and it was on a full moon, which is all about helping to like shine a light on both the light and the dark and releasing. And I sat there and I watched, and the most spectacular colors started to like, and it got, and the fire got high, and I was like, oh shit, like, I don't know if I should have done this. I live on a 22nd floor building in downtown LA. Like, you know, my little ego started to get all crazy. And, but I watched it. And as I watched it, I just continued to cry, and I had already cried a lot. And I just, all of a sudden I had this sensation and chills through my whole body. And I felt the presence of God. Like I felt this wave, and all of a sudden it was just me and this fire and this ritual. Nothing else existed. And I felt this essence within me that I had never really connected to or tapped into. And it felt, and by the way, this was, I'm pretty sure, before I even started getting Reiki sessions, but it was like this something awoke inside of me that was like, you're safe. Like you're who you're meant to be. All these things were a part of your life with purpose, not with just pain. And it was like this overwhelming sensation of like gratitude and okayness, you know, just okay that my path and all of its ups and downs and really some deep downs had happened. And that, that was all necessary for me to be who I was. So, yeah.
Wow. And God answered your prayer, and now you are healing the world in your own magical way.
Thank you. I still don't always see that. I kind of just focus on taking myself to wherever I feel called to go, wherever I feel like I can be of service. But also in doing so, and I think this is really important for the women to hear, it's also really important. It's been an important part of my journey to constantly come back to myself and constantly check in on myself, because I have a tendency to give with zero restraint and zero borders and boundaries. And that has not served me well. Like I've gotten, last year I was sick every single month for 6 months straight. And I had to realize that I was the common denominator, that it wasn't anyone else doing that to me, that I was the one who was putting myself in these positions of just giving so consistently that I had nothing left for me.
You and I are so paralleled right now.
I believe it.
Oh, and those who really know me are listening to this right now, and they're like,
She needed to hear that. But really, it's true. And you know, I guess that would be where I would turn the table on you right now and say, what is it that you feel is, when you're in that state of giving and doing, what is it that you feel it means about you?
That I'm someone to love.
So
that I'm someone that is deserving of their love, and only because I sacrifice and give.
Yeah. So that is an old, old paradigm. That is something that we as women, and I believe there's been sort of science, I don't follow it completely, but I know of it, that this essence of our ancestral like DNA as women, it passes into each of us. And so the fact that as women, like we can walk down a dark street and see two men, and there's this instinct of fear that we can feel when we're walking down a dark alley and two men are coming like towards us, right? Mm-hmm. And in the same vein, I believe that as women, we have this innate like belief system that by giving, it equals my value.
Oh, yeah.
That absolutely. Is, yeah. And that is something that again, like, you know, I was just in New York City and I was just in Washington, D.C. and doing these events and workshops, and 99, maybe 98% of these women all have anxiety, all feel a sense of like urgency, and all feel like they're just constantly not doing enough. That to me is an epidemic. And it's so critical for women to hear from other women that this exists. It's not that you're not alone in this feeling or this belief system, that it's not true, right? Because the only way that we can start to heal and shift from this belief system that giving equals value is by talking about it, by getting into the ego, by getting into the programming and into the thoughts, so that our minds can start learning new ways of inhabiting like positive and reinforcing belief systems and reinforcing rest and reinforcing like the essence of receiving, you know? And I feel so called right now in my life to be sharing that message.
And so many people, so many women, and perhaps men too, well, definitely men too, but many women may not be aware of this epidemic with it, this epidemic, and aware of this need to give in order to receive love within themselves and from others, and especially within themselves. So how can Reiki and EFT, because I'm sure that those are two modalities that you probably often turn to, and maybe something else as well. What can we do aside from talking? What can we do to shift this?
Yeah. So first, I would want to make it very clear for everyone that you can do nothing and still shift it. Because I want to also just touch upon the fact that there are so many now mediums out there of social media and, you know, all of the different ways that we are receiving this sort of thought process and thinking. I just did a workshop with my dear friend Katie Dale Bout, and she has a book called Let It Out. And her whole thing is journaling. Have you heard of, have you met her? No,
I've heard, I've heard her podcast. I should probably,
you should get her on the show. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's should.
So we did two different events, one in New York and one in DC. And she is all about journaling, and she's, and it's so therapeutic and cathartic. But one of the things that she said in doing a lot of research for her book was that the human, the average human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. And many of those thoughts are actually repeat thoughts. So like a loop of thinking.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, oh, it's 11:11 right now, so I have to make a quick wish. Let's energize. And for the listeners, take this moment as well. Just put out your most divine thoughts, energy, intentions, and desires. And so it is. Yay. And it's so funny, on our recording, it's about to hit 333.
Magic.
As it's 11:11.
That's everything.
Same. I see them all
I
over.
Those nudges daily.
Yeah, my me too. Know. The angels know. They always know.
They do.
So anyways, just the idea that we have all these sort of even unintended thoughts and thinking going on for ourselves. And when you actually acknowledge that amount, that's so many. And if you acknowledge that, it's to give yourself a little break, to give yourself a little like reminder that you're doing great, you know. And there's so many wellness hacks out there. And I've certainly written lots of articles for tons of different wellness websites. And I'm grateful that we have, there's this interest for people to better themselves. I think that's what a great world to live in, you know, that people want to be improving and bettering and learning and sort of seeking more. I think that's fantastic. What I want to ensure and what I don't want people to feel on these curiosity quests is that somehow they have to do more or be more in order to heal, in order to live their best life. Like, I just want to make it very clear that you don't need Reiki or EFT or yoga or warm water with lemon juice or any of these hacks. Like, you don't have to take a bubble bath if you don't feel like it. You don't have to do moon rituals. So I just want people to hear that, because I think it's really important that we don't put any more pressure on ourselves to be human. So that's number one. The way that I found with Reiki and EFT, and the other part that I think is sort of the connector to all of it, is movement. And, you know, for me, movement can be like just, it doesn't have to be a yoga practice. It can be, I was in a hotel room in DC yesterday. I was exhausted and I woke up. I had to check out of my hotel room and everything. So I just laid a towel down on the floor and I just played a couple of my favorite soothing songs and I just stretched for 15 minutes and did really intentional breathing. And that was enough. So for me, Reiki, EFT, movement, and then of course, just like nourishing my body with food, nourishing my body with thoughts, nourishing my body with whatever it may, it could be support and love from the people that are closest to me. We all have different needs at different times in our life. And the way that I found with Reiki and EFT, I do them on myself every day, maybe not EFT every day, but at least once a week. But the reason that I came to EFT and I came to Reiki was again because of the back pain. But what I really have felt through Reiki and EFT is that, and through movement, is that they've created these very tangible ways for me to get back into my body. Like, that's the baseline reason and mechanism for me. EFT, because it's tapping and you're tapping on these different acupressure points. And I wouldn't even actually call myself an expert with EFT. I just, my Reiki master taught it to me and I love it. And I know how powerful it is for me to tap and to move energy and to move thoughts and to shift this, like, sometimes horrible or negative thinking that's in my mind. And it helps me shift and sort of listen to what I'm thinking. And when I hear it, I'm like, what the fuck?
It is so powerful though.
So powerful.
Ooh, we never even established, in case someone might be like, what is EFT? Well, emotional freedom technique. Do you mind sharing? Because I want to hear from your own voice and verbiage how you explore EFT within yourself and help how you help others explore it for themselves.
Yeah. So EFT, emotional freedom technique, it's a tapping technique. And you're tapping on these different, again, acupressure or different points in the body that it's where a lot of your nerves come together, right? So if you do acupuncture, they're like needling in these certain places where they know it can hold stagnation, or it can, they want to open up the flow in that part of the body. So when you're doing tapping, you're igniting and sort of opening up those points in the body. And as you're doing it, you're repeating. So you would start and maybe say, "What? How are you feeling today?" Let's just start with something that you have coming up.
Well, right now, as you're talking about this, my body is like my upper body. I'm moving my upper body in circles, and that usually just means like I'm feeling so in flow. Mm-hmm. And good. Earlier today, I'm not going to lie, earlier today, I was actually not feeling aligned. I was feeling very stuck and stagnant in a lot of ways. But because I knew I had to talk to you, and it's 5 p.m. here. So, or no, I'm sorry, it's 7 p.m. here.
Oh my gosh.
And so I know. And so I knew I had to talk to you and get aligned. So I meditated, and which I actually ended up taking a nap. And I think that was my body's and mind's way of, you know, really shifting my vibration so I can wake up into a new born again state. And I jumped into the ocean And then I came home and I danced, and now I feel more aligned.
Oh my God. Well, you, sister, are right on track with connecting to your needs and vibrations, because all of that is like the essence of true self-love and connection. And I know, I'm sure, like all of us, you don't get it right every day. And sometimes instead of doing all those things, you probably just keep hanging out on your computer or doing like the, you know, non-soul invoking things. And that's normal too. And so I would say, you know, just for me, for example, if I feel really anxious, or let's say yours was stagnant, right? So we would tap on the side of the palm and start with, like, even though I feel all this stuckness and heaviness, or whatever the word is that you're feeling, it could be anxiety, it could be pain, it could be overwhelm, it could be anger.
Heaviness was a good one.
Heaviness. Yeah, I felt heaviness for you. So even though I feel all this stagnation and heaviness, I deeply and profoundly trust and love myself, or I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. That's kind of the basic beginner, not even beginner, because it's equally powerful, but that's sort of the first inertia for opening up EFT. So even though I, and then you kind of state whatever it is that's coming up for you, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself, right? Because just if you give yourself the permission to love and accept you, no matter what is going on for you, suddenly like this, the sting and the ego's sort of judgment and criticism of self start to dissolve. So you start there, and then you kind of just tap on these different parts of the face and the collarbone and underneath the arm and on top of the head and the fingers. And you're just going through this practice and exercise of acknowledging what's coming up for you, acknowledging your thoughts, acknowledging sort of just all of the energy, all of the things that are present. And in doing so, you're equally and simultaneously moving and shifting the energy. And then
so much sense.
It's so great. And then when you're done, for me, then that's when I usually like to. So sometimes I might start with Reikiing myself first. And for me, Reiki is as simple as placing, and anybody can do this, placing my hands on my heart and just like breathing and letting some deep breaths come in and out. And then I start to feel this light, the healing energy flow through the crown of my head, down into my heart, out through my arms, and through my palm chakras. That's how we open up to receive and feel the energy of Reiki. And then those palms are sending that light into the body. So I could place it on my knees if I have knee pain, or my low back, or on my head if my mind is just crazy with thinking, with small thinking, right? There's those like little loops and patterns and taking you down that rabbit hole. And then sometimes when I've Reikied myself, I realize my thoughts are really powerful and overwhelming. So then I'll sit up and I'll start to EFT, and then I'll finish with Reiki. And then, or I may start with movement first because I know I just need to like jump around and dance or move my body or sweat. And then even if I'm in a yoga class, I'll always end with my hands in a position of giving myself Reiki before I go back out into the day. So I hope that answered your question. I know that was kind of a lot of info.
Oh, that definitely did. I want everyone to soak that in and write down this, even though I feel and blank, whatever you might feel, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Write this down somewhere, maybe in your notes on your phone or in a journal. Write this down somewhere right now. Did I say it right, by the way? Even though I feel blank, I deeply and profoundly.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yep. Even though I feel blank, I deeply and profoundly, and it would be choose to love and accept myself.
Choose
because
to.
It's a choice. Yeah. And I don't actually even know if I said that earlier. So it could, I could have missed it too, but it's very important to remember that you are the one making these choices. You're choosing to stay stuck. You're choosing to be in negative thinking. And again, I know it's really strong and it's really powerful and it doesn't always feel like it's possible to get out of it, but it's, and some days, guess what? You won't. And that's okay. It's okay to be in those places when you're just having a shit day. Like, it's okay. It doesn't make you any less valuable, any less worthy, any less on track with your purpose. It really doesn't.
Even though I feel like I'm having a shit day, I deeply and profoundly choose to love and accept myself.
Yes, amen, sister. Yep.
But it's so important because so write that down somewhere right now. Make sure to do the blank, fill in the blank or whatever. So that way later on, you can do this every single day this week and just figure out whatever you're feeling and try out the tapping. And I'm going to ask you in a little bit, how do we know what points to tap? Because I think that's my honestly hesitation. I'm like, I don't know what to tap.
So yeah, it's hard. It's a little hard to explain without a lot of people. I mean, it depends on what kind of a learner you are, but there's so many videos on YouTube. And I think I have a couple up. I think so. I actually don't have to check that.
If not, get on that.
I know, get on it, right? I know as part of our new podcast, I know that there's a video series there of me giving people EFT. So it's definitely there. But there's if you tap in EFT for anxiety into YouTube, there will be so many videos that come up. One of my favorite people of all time is Brad Yates. He's like an older white dude and he's funny and he's quirky and his tapping is really powerful. His name's Brad and then his last name is Yates. So that's one, that's a place I will go to when I don't want to lead myself through one. And then I'm pretty sure that I have one either on my YouTube channel, which I'm going to be doing a lot more of coming up this year and into next year. But just type it in. And I also feel like whatever you're meant to find will find you.
That's so great. Okay, thank you for that tool. We're going to put it in our little spiritual toolbox. Tool belt. Let's say we are drawing a blank when we are approaching our tapping and trying to find out our sentence. What can we do to really release that emotion or energy, even though we don't really know how to verbally express it?
Yeah. So if that's the case, I would say, and again, I'm just going to pull from the workshop that Katie and I did recently. She in the workshop, because her whole thing and her teaching, which I love, I mean, I journal often, and the way she shared with journaling is a great way to start is just to write down wherever you're writing, how are you feeling? And just start with that basic question. And if you're somebody who might be better served doing pen to paper, right? Sort of just that tangible, because it can be, and I know this for myself, it can be very hard if I'm in the midst of that sort of tornado to try to come to a place of centered in awareness with myself. So if that's the case, you can absolutely do just a how are you feeling and write it down and just start there.
That's perfect. Oh, thank you. And I know also Reiki also has some very specific mantras or prayers, or I guess, what do you call them? Precepts?
Precepts. Yep.
Yeah. The Reiki precepts. What are those precepts? Because I know that there's 4 or 5, yes, and they promote our healing in some way, and they're very specific.
Absolutely. So the Reiki precepts, and I teach this, I teach Reiki 101 course on Mind Body Green that's accessible to everybody. You can get it from my website. I think it's like a $50 class, but it's several hours and there's EFT in all of those and a meditation with Reiki.
That's such a great deal.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I'm really proud of that class, not just because of, you know, what I'm teaching, but I'm proud because it's very accessible and it's all sort of this, it's like a course, and people message me all the time that they listen to it over and they watch the videos over and over and over again. And once you buy it, you have lifetime access. So it's EFT wonderful. For stress and EFT for anxiety. And then there's a guided visualization meditation with distance Reiki in it. So it's in the Reiki precepts and chakras and everything is in this course, just to give you kind of a basic outline of energy and energy healing and how you can give it to yourself. But within that, the Reiki precepts are created and were created by Reiki Master Usui. He's obviously from Japan. That's why it's a Japanese healing modality. And these were his belief systems of what you And again, keep in mind, this was based when he was alive, when he was going through and seeing people suffering. And so he created these precepts as a way of living, as a way of being. And it was, just for today, do not anger. Just for today, be humble. Just for today, do not worry. So there's, and there's, I believe, two other ones. But the idea is, and this is sort of where I teach, have taught people, and it's part of the Reiki certification classes that I teach too, is start with these most basic of precepts, these most basic of daily mantras. And you can say them to yourself in bed in the morning, or sort of like whenever you're doing any intentional practice with yourself, to just feel. And I say those precepts to myself until I feel them in my whole body. So I don't just say it like, just for today, do not anger. But if I feel it in my body, so I would, for me, I repeat them to myself enough until I feel the essence of it in my body. And then how I teach my students is you practice that for about a month, the original precepts. And then I ask them to start practicing whatever comes up for them that they know they're going to need for today. So just for today, and I've switched it in my teachings to my students that they always have the precepts to come home to. And I often come home to them, but I teach that then you shift it to give yourself, based on this time in 2018 that we live, a just for today, I am. So for me, like this morning, it would be, just for today, I am peace. Just for today, I am pure love. Just for today, I am accepting. So I switch it based on what I know I need and I'm seeking and wanting to feel on that day.
And those are more positive and uplifting words too, which honestly resonates deeper for me personally. I really love that. And just for today, I am whatever comes to your heart, because that is more easily acceptable or accessible to the heart of a Westerner in 2018. So I 1,000%. Love that.
And that's where, exactly. And that's kind of where I just realized that I, you know, again, I always want to honor the lineage and where things came from, because we live in such a fast-paced world that, you know, it's easy for people to like just have this desire for immediate gratification. So I think it's important to honor like the heritage and the why and the where, and just really invoke that and show respect to it. And then to also be able to adapt as needed for self and for the current moments of your life.
I agree. That way the traditional ways are not tainted, but they're just evolving in our own ways. And that's way more. And I think that, I mean, I assume, I don't know, I'm not standing in their shoes. Actually, I might be, because I probably was one of them in the past life. But like they they would honor that. They would probably want that for us to be able to move in a way that works for us today, instead of not resonating, because then people won't really be drawn to doing that if it doesn't resonate with them. And we want it to. It's whatever works. There's no formula. It's whatever works.
1,000%. And I think it's important to also acknowledge, just in the history of Reiki itself, like when you learn the history of Reiki, you will see how many different teachers adapted Reiki and changed Asui's fundamental way of doing Reiki. Like for him, he did a Reiki attunement on students every single day for 30 days as to get them adjusted. In this day in 2018, I can't be with my students for 30 days and attune them, you know? So meaning along the way in the history of Reiki itself, many teachers had adjusted it and shifted it into what was appropriate for their modern day and for how they knew to heal and showcase and allow healing to come through. So I think you're absolutely right. We want people to receive its divinity and its magic. But I also feel, you know, with Reiki too, the one thing that I would say that is important to me is so many people have this desire to rush themselves, or it could even be students through Reiki. And that's really hard for me, because for me to receive, you know, all the way through my Reiki masters, it was several years with my teacher. And there's all these trainings and programs out there for people to get Reiki 1 and 2 certified in a weekend.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And then like the next weekend you can get your Reiki masters. And that to me is, yeah, it's kind of, to me, that's a little like, I don't know if antiquated is the right word, but it's a little opposite of the intention behind Reiki, which is to allow this healing and this energy to come through you. And you have to calibrate. You really have to calibrate to see yourself and watch yourself in resistance and watch yourself not doing Reiki on yourself when you're sick. And, you know, people in our culture are so, they want to get that immediate gratification. And that is also to their own detriment, because it's important to honor the student and to honor their own path with it. And everyone's different. And so that would be my only thing with Reiki is, you know, find a Reiki master if you are called to wanting to learn. But also don't, please don't give your Western ego the driver's seat in that, and trust that it's okay that it's a slower, more peaceful, not rushed process.
And that's not only for the fact that it should be honored in taking the time. I just couldn't fathom it taking a weekend to master Reiki. I just can't. That doesn't even
exactly.
Yeah, I can't comprehend that. But I do believe that, and I could be totally wrong, I don't know, but this is what I picture. I think a Reiki healer needs to learn also how to cut the tie now between the person they just Reiki'd and their own energy, because that is very close. You know, you are really uniting your energies at that time, I'm assuming. And I could all be, I really might just be making this all up in my head.
No, not at all.
Personal protection as well, like to really learn how to disconnect that energy.
Absolutely. Know. And we teach that as part of Reiki training, is the importance and relevance of learning how to disconnect energy, because it is a real thing. And I, for a little while, I didn't honor it so much. And then I would come home and like get sick, and I would be in a bath for 3 hours.
Wow.
Like crying or not being able to speak. And it was because I wanted healing so much for a person. So I was getting too, my ego was getting too involved, and I wasn't honoring the practices for myself and looking at what I needed as well. And I just have learned sort of through training wheels so much over the years of the importance of just allowing the Reiki to do what the Reiki does. And then also the very important value of me as a conduit and what I need to disconnect the energy and what I need for my body, because my husband, my assistant, my best friends, people have watched me get really sick after doing events. And so I've had to learn over the years how to honor myself as well.
Wow. And you know what? Even let's say you're not even raking, we all should learn to disconnect and cut the cord to all energies every day, just to kind of go to bed with our own peaceful energy, because, you know, that is how a lot of sickness can be created from what I've observed and myself.
1,000%.
I've learned this. Joni, who's my fairy godmama, she's been in this on this podcast before. She's Allie's mom. She tells me every week to cut the cord, cut the energy from those around me. And I always forget to, and I've been starting to.
You're a giver and you want to just give to everybody. Yeah,
exactly. And then I will, and exactly. And it doesn't do me service, especially somebody that is an empath and does really take on people's energies and emotions constantly. And a lot of those that are listening are very much like that too. I already know. So how can one, maybe they're not going to the level of raking somebody and really, really taking on their energy, but how can one, just in an everyday person, disconnect that energy from like the world's energy just in their day, like before bed?
Absolutely. So I have this saying, and I love it, and I do it many times a day, is I Let me just connect to it because I'm going to close my eyes for a minute and just find it. Okay, so it's I send all negativity and low vibrational energy to the universe to be dissolved, delivering that it is transmuted to the highest and best and healed. I now ask that I be placed in the universal Christ light of consciousness, asking that all that is happy, healthy, and wealthy touch and be with me now.
Wow. You know what? I might ask you to email that to me and maybe I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I can totally, again, it's one that I've just said for so many months. And I think I received it from a shaman in, no, she wasn't a shaman. She was a medium, this beautiful Scottish woman in Arizona that I had a session with. And she was so funny. And she's like, darling, you're not protecting yourself. That's why you're getting sick all the time. And so she gave me these like incredible mantras that I use all the time, and they've really brought a lot of good into my practices.
That is amazing. Those personal mantras too just
I know,
shift everything. I'm so glad that you found her. Wow.
Me too. Sorry, I was just taking a sip of water.
That's fine. It's been an hour. I hope that you are quenching yourself. Some things that a lot of people are experiencing, let's say if we want to do an EFT session when it comes to fighting with food and fighting our body, what are ways that we can shift that using EFT?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, obviously EFT can be used for anything and everything. For someone who's going through and experiencing a relationship and a dynamic with food where there's fear or control or judgment involved, and often with EFT, things will come up as you're tapping. Like, so I would say part of it be like, even though I have this fear of food and this desire to control my every move, I deeply and profoundly choose to accept myself and my body and my being. I deeply and profoundly choose to accept that I always make the right choice, right? So there's this essence of accepting self in all the light and the dark. Like I could very easily say, oh, like I hate my controlling ways, or I hate that I have this nagging doubt all the time with all my creative projects, with all the shit I do. But what I have not actually done with the control or the doubt is accepted that it's also a part of me, right? And I have to, the minute I start to breathe into acceptance that this is part of me, it's not because I need to let it be in the driver's seat, but the minute I give myself the essence of acceptance, that is where I can then start to like lean into another vibration. Like, I accept that you're here. I accept that you doubt. I accept that this is something that I have been struggling with for many years. And I also accept that I am worthy of living like a happy, healthy life. And I also accept that this too will like release itself on me, or whatever the vibration is that makes you feel good. It's just that when you've been in this loop of a thinking pattern, of a way of like talking to yourself, it's going to take time for you to acknowledge that you're actually the one invoking it. And it's going to take time for you, because it's actually not about food. It's about something deeper of not accepting a part of yourself. And that is what I would tell anybody who has a fear of food or a relationship with food, is go deeper, because you're just using the food as sort of a blanket over something else that's much deeper rooted.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're a human being, and we are meant to have these very dynamic relationships with ourselves, where, I mean, with all the things that I've done, it's fascinating to me how people create these beliefs about me. Like, anytime I'm with someone, they'll be like, oh, we go out to a meal and they'll be like, and somebody who doesn't obviously know me very well, they'll be like, you're vegan, right? And I'm like, nope. And they'll create all these sort of like internal illusions of me because it's their ego's way of judging either themselves in comparison to me, or judging like me, or judging what it means to be spiritual, or what it means to be.
Well, that's always them judging themselves.
Right.
And always. Yeah.
Right. But that's my point is like,
yeah,
we all do it, right? We all have sort of that constant, or hopefully it'll become less loud. And I think the part of the ego is the minute you allow this essence of accepting, like really accepting all the parts of you, which include dark parts, which include like the parts where you're kind of an asshole to yourself. Like that's part of acceptance. And the minute you go into that flow of acceptance, you can then allow the voices of love and peace and gratitude and like faith and trust and flow. You can let them come in more and more loudly than the other voices, because you acknowledge and accept that all will always exist. You don't get rid of like any of these parts of yourself. And I think that's the trick, and that most people don't acknowledge. Like people think, I've got to get rid of my control. And I'm like, well, that's your control talking. You know, like you can't,
yes,
not like it's all just going to disappear. No, that's not accepting. And by the way, I've had great teachers and people who have helped me see all of this. And so that is the part where if you can invite yourself to accept that all these parts of you exist, that they're actually never going to quote unquote go away. It's just that they get less and less loud because the other loving, compassion, right? Accepting parts of you, the light or the love or the peace and the gratitude, those voices just get a little bit louder.
So true.
Yeah.
Just for today.
Just for today. I love this one. And I say this often at workshops and retreats and stuff that I teach. Just for today, I am right on time. Like to just, if you take that breath in for anybody listening, to just like take a moment and just close your eyes, but not if you're driving, and and just breathe in like, I am right on time. I am exactly who I'm meant to be, where I'm meant to be, and how I'm meant to be, and I am doing just fine.
Yes.
Like, that's powerful.
So profound. Wow. I have chills.
Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you for all of that.
You are so welcome.
I still have so many questions for you, especially when it comes to, well, I'm curious about your meditation, your personal meditation practice. And then also I want to dive into, because a lot of the Soul Tribers, that's what I call the listeners.
Oh, I love it.
Yomis. I know. They are very into wanting to learn how to get into this world of being a solo or a soulfulpreneur, a soulpreneur, or just getting into the healing world from their desk jobs or corporate jobs or whatever they're doing in life, or after school, whatever they're doing. So both, I'm curious about your meditation practice, then we'll shift gears into that.
Sure. So my meditation practice is kind of always, it's always the same, but it's always changing. So I travel a lot. So, you know, I don't necessarily have like a specific place that I meditate. I know for some, that's a really rooted part of their practice, which I mean, I know everybody probably is moving and shifting often, but some people have like a really dedicated space and room and way. And mine is a lot more fluctuating. So I love to meditate in the morning before I start my day. It's really sweet. My husband, I'm not a morning person, so my husband always wakes up before me, and he'll snuggle me for a while, and then he'll slowly sit up and he'll do his own morning meditation practice in bed. And then by the time he's gotten up and starting to get ready, I kind of wait for him to leave the room, and then that's when I'll sit up and or sometimes lay down. Like, it just depends on how tired I feel or how awake I feel.
Yeah, same.
Like, I'm not somebody that feels that believes that I have to sit up and be structured, because that actually is more pressure to put on myself. I already put a lot of pressure on myself. So I have given myself sort of this space in my meditation practice to just meditate however I'm feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes I will listen to music that makes me feel really happy and peaceful. Sometimes it's silent. Sometimes I'll listen to like a Headspace meditation. But really, it's kind of just always ebbing and flowing. And sometimes, you know, I'll do a 3-minute meditation if I don't have a lot of time, and do my meditation will be more along the lines of breath work with Reiki. So that's my meditation practice. And then for,
I think that's so important to note, to just whatever you're feeling in the moment. It doesn't have to be rigid and structured with your back straight for 6 hours, which I've definitely done many times.
Yeah, same.
Because I used to think that it was, I needed to do that. And then when I was able to just relax and just give myself the space to really allow myself to meditate however I choose to, oh my gosh, they became so much stronger, and I felt so much better throughout the day.
Amazing. And that's really, you know, that's the magic of it, is like just to give yourself that space. And look, as you and I both know, there is a time and a place for structured meditation. And I,
of course, yeah,
I love that too. You know, they're all perfect experiences and expressions of me connecting with myself.
Yeah.
And then for soulful, what is it called?
Soulpreneurship.
You know, for me, it's more about, maybe it's because I've gotten older, or maybe it's just sort of the consciousness that's present for all of us right now. I really feel this, this desire to not just create, to have more things in the world, because we live in such a consumer based, material based world right now, that I have found it's challenging for me to want to produce things that are not going to be good for the environment and good for our future world. Meaning consuming just to consume, or having a bunch of products just to have a bunch of products to sell. So I would say to anyone who's wanting to create either a product or experiences for people, or just getting into the realm and the light of this space, is to connect to what you're most passionate about. Like, I love people, and I love connecting with people, and I love giving people permission to be themselves, to be the most connected and accepting and loving versions of themselves. So that's sort of where everything that I create and that I'm doing is based upon and stems from. And I think when you find, I think Glennon Doyle is the one, she had said once, you know, find whatever in the world breaks your heart the most. And when you find what breaks your heart the most, you're also going to find the people who feel the same way. So then you've also found your tribe, the tribe of people, right? And for me, like, mine is, it pains me to see people suffering. And so what I'm working on and what I've sort of found is that the people that perhaps, quote unquote, have the most basic of things that many people in our world don't have, which is why they have suffering, right? They may not have food, they may not have water, they may not have access to medications. But I've found that people in our Western world, if we can help heal their suffering, which is a lot of it's self-induced, right? Like anxiety and control and all these different things. If I can help open up these people to see their true self and to love and have this essence and connection, then they become the people who will hopefully help create the changes as well in the world.
Wow. And so, wow, really, I love that. Think about what breaks your heart the most.
Right.
And then that's where you'll find your tribe and find your way and honestly your purpose.
Mm-hmm. But that's it, is like that's where a part of your purpose is. And that's why I say, like, I mean, Glennon Doyle is just like a force and an amazing machine of an incredible light soul woman. But, you know, just when she, again, I think she said it on like an Insta story or something, and I rarely watch Insta stories, but I loved that I saw that because somebody had asked her that question and I was like, oh my God, like what a profound message. And yeah, and it's, you know, and I also think the most important thing for people to hear too is just trust your path, like just keep going and just keep allowing yourself to feel and feel sad and feel angry and feel whatever it is that's coming up for you. Because when you give yourself space and permission to actually feel what you're feeling, that then becomes your deepest connections to yourself so that you can not only like begin healing, but also begin like that fervor and that passion for being.
When they do find that purpose, find that path, how can they shift their lifestyle? So let's say, like you said, that you worked in corporate in Washington, D.C. and in L.A. for a while, and now you made a name for yourself as a Reiki and EFT goddess in L.A. So for those that may be wanting to actually like make that transition, do you have one piece of practical advice how they can actually shift when they find what their healing purpose might be to step into that? Or it might not even be a healer, but whatever their soulpreneurship might be.
So the honestly, the one piece of advice I would have for people is to be okay with starting small. You know, we live in this world where everything's so like big and grandiose and these like epic events and these epic teachers and these epic experiences. And, you know, what people don't see when, I'll just use myself as an example, what people don't see when they see me maybe leading a class in front of 400 people, they don't see the years that I would teach a donation-based yoga class or donation-based meditation class where one person would show up, you know? And like I think that's my biggest piece of advice for anyone who's interested in this field is like, just, I got so many certifications and trainings and different things. And like, just be okay with like following your curiosity and be willing to go into it just for the joy, for the pure joy of getting to create. Because whenever I've put pressure on myself to create with expectation, like, okay, I'm going to do this event and I have to have at least 30 people there, that's suddenly all the joy and the light and the intention behind it have become faded. So that would be my piece of advice, is for people to be okay with starting small, with playing and creating and not needing to make an expectation of themselves.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so brilliant to know. Thank you.
You are welcome.
So good for people to know, to just be okay in sitting with themselves right now, as we are always striving to be there now.
Yeah. And like, you know, even somebody like, I'm not sure if you follow Yoga Girl, but she will, I mean, she's got, I don't know, over 1 million followers and all these different things, but she herself started teaching yoga like under a tree where 5 people would show up and roll out their mats. But I think it's really important to honor that process within yourself. It's the same way we talked about Reiki training. Like, don't rush your journey. It's meant to have ups and downs, and it's meant to have this, like, it has its own divine flow and rhythm. And if you try to rush it, the universe is probably going to give you something to slow down. And so I would just say, just to be so loving and patient and be willing to just do it for the joy and the creativity of it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, would you like to talk about magic vibes?
I would love to. So Magic Vibes is my little business. It's outside of everything is packaged in my own home. So we fill it with Reiki. The candles are poured on full moons and new moons. And so basically what Magic Vibes is, I was teaching and doing all these workshops and one-on-one clients. And every time there was a new moon or a full moon or some like epic event, people would text me or call me and ask me, okay, Kels, what am I supposed to do today? What is it that I have to do for this event? What if I, how do I like, basically, how do I get spiritual on this day? And anytime I would do a session with somebody, they'd say things to me like, oh, I just want to put you in my pocket so that I can like have your voice reminding me of these things all the time. And so after a while, I finally, with my branding manager, was like, you know, she was the one who came to me and was like, you should really create something that people can bring home, like have a part of that essence in what you teach, like in their home. And so that, over the course of many months, that was the creation of Magic Vibes. And it's a spiritual subscription box, and we have tons of single item products that are for purchase as well. But everything is done with intention. We also have a give back component. I sit on the board for a nonprofit that supports teen girls in helping them become, many of them become the first in their families. A lot of them are immigrant families. They become the first in their family to graduate high school and go to college. So, you know, to me, it's just about sort of giving people these tools that they can then take home. It's anything from like a rose quartz gua sha tool to a full moon candle with a full moon meditation that is recorded and has distance Reiki in it that they can then do a ritual at home. It's so crystals. Cool. It's so cool. It's crystals and sage and Palo Santo. It's scarves that are made by refugee women in Africa. Like it's just, and everything is just made with such intention. We have a very small jewelry line that has every piece of jewelry has like an invocation of an energy. So it's just really intentional pieces and products. And this fall, we're going to be changing the subscription box to more of a mood box. So it's a mood for every season. And there'll be much, right now the boxes are pretty expensive. So we're going to change the pricing and just make it a lot more accessible for everyone. And they'll always have a daily meditation that you can play all the time for every day. And they'll all have a full moon and new moon meditation in them.
Oh, that is so amazing. Look at you sharing that with the world. See, everybody, when you start this path, it's just amazing what can expand. Even if you do begin under a tree or in the corporate world and then lay down in Shavasana and just take your baby steps, like who knows what will unfold. That is
amazing. Even if you work in a corporate office, like when you've done a lot of meditating or you've gotten, you know, your 200-hour yoga certification or whatever it is, go to your HR office and say, I want to start doing a 7:30 to 8 a.m. meditation on Wednesdays for the office. Like just start creating again from a place of your own joy, whatever that means. Like start to do, if you've gotten your Reiki certification, start to do a Reiki share with your closest girlfriends and let it be donation based and like get your living room all set up. And like you could do it on a full moon or a new moon. Like just find ways that make you happy and feel creative.
Oh, that is so brilliant. I'm going to message my corporate conscious friends that actually do have their 200-hour teacher certification.
Amazing.
That's so brilliant. Well, I have one last question that I ask all of the guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
I don't think there's anything to create. I believe we all have it inside of us already. And it's just finding practices to move through some of the crust or the gunk that is for every human being, that is something that we create or has been sort of given to us or thrown at us from society. So it's just finding whatever practices help you see through some of that murkiness that, again, it's like skimming the pond, like that first layer of the pond, and then you can see with such clarity the depths of it.
Wow. It is in us already. No need to
create it. No need to create it.
Wow.
And I would say the other main thing is I just launched this 8-episode podcast with my dear friend and soul brother, Ryan Weiss, and it's called Break Up With Your Bullshit. And it's just 8 episodes, and there's free divine writing assignments and things that go with it. And it is, I believe, a truly remarkable experience to take you through from start to finish how to break up with all the programming and the bullshit and that layer. Yeah, that scum layer on top of the pond. And that would be like that to me, this, what we've created, it was never, we didn't know what it was going to be when we started recording. It's just unfolded into this magic project. And we've gotten insane feedback and celebrities that have listened and everything. And that would be my biggest gift right now, is what I'm most excited about is magic vibes and break up with your bullshit.
That is so exciting. I have a great feeling that a lot of the listeners are already looking it up and downloading some of the episodes. And if you're not, well, you better be, because
yes, it is really
great. I've listened to it, and I'm so glad that you brought that into the world. We needed that space, especially in the podcast world. Well, just especially in the world, we've been needing that space. So thank you for all that you create. Where else can everyone find you?
Absolutely. You can find me. My website is kelseyjpatel.com. On Instagram and Facebook and all the things, it's Kelsey J. Patel. And yeah, if you listened to the episode, feel free to DM me. I love hearing from people, and I do my best to respond to every single DM. So sending all of you guys so much love and magic and so much gratitude to you, my dear, for putting this magic out into the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on here. Everybody go DM her right now and tell her what you loved about this on the podcast. Ooh, one last really quick question.
Of course.
Do you ever Reiki pets or plants?
All the time. I Reiki all of my plants. Yep. And I Reiki anytime I'm with animals, or actually babies as well. I was just with a bunch of my girlfriends in DC, and they all have kids, and the young babies love having when I hold them, and they're just like immersed into it. And the same with animals. I may sit somewhere, and I've trained a lot of my students as well, who are huge animal advocates and lovers. And they have practices now where they actually go out and do Reiki healing on animals. So yes, the answer is 1,000 times yes.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
And you don't need to be Reiki certified, by the way, to do that. Like, just channel that light energy the way I described it earlier, and allow your hands to just emit this life force energy into the animal, into the plants. Like, I hold my hands a few inches above the plants, and it's just pure magic.
I do that anyways. I didn't think I was like raking, but I do that all the time.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. And it doesn't have to just be called Reiki. It's just energy. It's just sending like that life force energy.
Yeah. Wow. And with your food.
Yeah, I Reiki every single one of my meals.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Kelsey. I know you have to go. You have a call. And I'm just so grateful. I can't wait for everyone to listen and DM you and tell me how much they loved this magical conversation.
Thank you so much, darling. I'll talk to you very soon.
Talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Yomies, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.